Hey girl.
Hey girl, how are you?
Rainey, I am so good. Well, look, actually, I'm a little jet lagged. I just got back from New Zealand and I know it's only 3 hours.
I think it's because you've got a little toddler.
Sure.
3 hours to her would be more like 8, you know?
Yeah, so these 8 hours are killing me. That was a great trip for our sister's wedding, which was so beautiful.
It was absolutely stunning.
Should I tell you a little story?
Yeah, I think you should.
About the plane?
Yeah.
Listen, guys, something massive happened on the flight from Australia to New Zealand. I'm not kidding you. This is huge. So I am flying with my daughter. She's 2. And naturally, you know, traveling with a 2-year-old, I do worry. I do worry more so not for my sake, but for the people around me. So I tend to, you know, crack a light joke, apologize in advance for whoever sits next to me. But there was this lovely woman and we just got chatting throughout the flight. We, you know, shared a couple of wines together, became besties. And I started telling her about the podcast. Well, did she have a big old bomb to drop? Holy shit.
Holy shit.
So it turns out my neighbor was involved in a massive, massive high-profile New Zealand murder case. Now, when I say massive, I'm talking like one of the big four. Who are the big four? Do you know? Have a guess.
I know a few. Obviously, David Bain, Ben Smart and Olivia Hope. Grace Mullane.
Yes, that's a big one.
And I don't know what the fourth one is.
There's definitely a fourth. The old Lundy case, you know?
No, Mark Lundy, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure there's a few other big ones, but definitely like, those are some big standout ones. So anyway, I'm not going to confirm or deny if it was one of those big four, but it was definitely one of the big four. She was involved in this case and she was a part of the trial. She actually, look, I'm not going to tell you anymore, but she has name suppression, but she was willing to come on the podcast when we cover this case, which is pretty huge. So that will be coming up. I'm thinking once we hit those double digits, we might jump right into that big bad boy and have her on.
Good news. All right, let's start peeling some onions.
The whole time I was home, Rainey kept going, oh, this case that I've got, oh my God, oh my God, there's so many layers, can't believe it. You're not going to believe it. So I'm ready. See what you got for me today.
To peel back the layers.
Peel back this onion, baby. Let's get to the root cause.
All right, Lolly, it is time to start peeling some onions.
Let's make some onion jam, babes. I love onion jam.
Me too, especially on steak.
A little balsamic glaze, a little bit of honey.
Okay. So we're going to take you back to 1985 when we have the master manipulator, David Brown, convincing his 14-year-old daughter to kill her stepmother.
Holy shit. This is not real life.
Holy shit.
Oh,
yeah.
That's horrendous. Okay, I knew it was going to be bad, but I actually haven't heard this case. Wow.
So, like I said, 1985, but we're going to take it back even earlier. We're going to go back to 1952 when David Brown is born in Phoenix, Arizona. He is one of 7 children.
Too many.
And too many, exactly. He lives in a household with his father, Arthur, and his mother, Manuela. A relationship with his father is very fun. He's, you know, he's at work. He's never really home. When he is home, he's just that fun kind of father figure, just no real care in the world. Whereas Manuela, she actually had to do all the disciplining for the children. She ran the household, you know, old 50s housewife. And David Brown just did not like that. There's stories that the relationship was quite abusive.
Oh, from mum?
Yeah, because she was so, so strict. He really struggled with the relationship with the mum. He was quite abusive to her. She was really strict on him. As he got older, you know what? He really decided he did not like the old Spanish ethnicity. So he was actually quite racist towards his mum too.
Jesus.
Even though he had a lot of the Espanol into him too.
Did he not? Yeah, no, look in the mirror, mate. Hey, look, this is shit, isn't it? Mom is just the evil mom at home, and then old fun dad comes strolling through the door. And I'll tell you why. It's because mom's sitting at home with 7 children, nagging, nagging, nagging away, and she's slowly going more and more crazy.
Yeah.
And then dad waltzes in an hour before bedtime. He's a party guy.
He has dinner, has a nice chat, and off he goes.
That's it.
Life's not that great at home. So eventually, as he gets older, he meets this woman called Brenda, who is actually one of his sister's friends. And she is actually one of 10 children living in a house of, we would say, poverty. There's no money. You know, she's wearing ripped and ragged clothes and not a lot of food. She's the oldest of 10, and she's more of a mother figure to a lot of her sisters. So David decides to swoop on in. He wants to be the knight in shining armor and decides, look, Brenda, let's run away.
Sounds like a good plan.
So the two of them, about 16 years old, they run away, they go get jobs, and life's pretty good. Brenda's never experienced money to have food and buy clothes, and they're not working the greatest jobs, but they can actually afford to get by. David decides to work for a rest home, and they've got surveillance videos in there, you know, just monitoring the elderly. But he actually gets a little paranoid, and he thinks that they're spying on Brenda and David. Things just get out of control, so he actually moves back home in with his parents.
Oh, hang on. Is him and Brenda working at the rest home together?
Yeah. Yeah, oh. So they've left home, they've ran away, but it must have been pretty bad because he has always said how horrible Manuela was, and Brenda thought she was going to be this horrible monster. So it must have been pretty bad that the old spying got out of control and he had to move back home to mum and dad's.
Well, I'm wondering what were they actually getting up to, because it seems a little extreme.
Well, I guess, yeah, what were they doing?
If you're just paranoid, just go get another job. Don't go back to your abusive mother. I call bullshit on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, maybe this thing's got a little too tough because they're 16, they're out in the workforce, and you don't have mom cooking and cleaning for you. And maybe it wasn't that bad at home.
And working in a rest home at that age doesn't sound that fun, does it, Shireen?
Oh, look, I would know.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're too young to be in that role. I just think that's not right.
Exactly. So look, eventually they moved back in, and Brenda was pretty surprised at how lovely Manuela was.
Oh.
Like, she was actually really nice, and she got on incredibly well with Manuela. David really didn't like this. David was quite an anxious person, and then he just was like, you know, I think I'm dying. I actually think there's all of these health issues wrong, but he was actually just really trying to get Brenda's attention back. So he claimed that he was dying. There was all these issues. He went and got his tonsils removed. There was a little bit of blood, and he's like, I'm dying in the hospital. It was like this big dramatic. Nurses came in. It's like, dude, you're okay.
Chill the fuck out. Jesus.
And eventually he actually did get diagnosed with colitis, which is inflammatory bowel disease, which can be a precursor to cancer. So just, we're going to park that one, and we're going to wrap back around to it eventually.
We'll put a pin in that. You know what? I love it. Sounds like he's just got a big old case of the man flu.
He actually does.
Yeah. Sit down and shut up, David.
Yeah. Their relationships progressed. He was very, very controlling to Brenda. They're at shopping malls, and he went to the bathroom because of his colitis. She had to stand right outside. She had to stand right outside. She wasn't allowed to leave. She wasn't allowed to talk to other people, go into other stores. Oh. Very, very controlling, very, very possessive. But Brenda was just so pleased because he wasn't dying.
Oh, my God.
He fixed his tonsil. He got his colitis diagnosis, but he was going to be okay.
Did he just fix one tonsil? Or
he fixed his tonsil. The bleeding one.
So just one was bleeding. Okay.
He ripped a stitch, you know?
I thought he popped a stitch. I thought when you get your tonsils out, you get both of them out, but maybe it's like a kidney, you know? You can still keep one of them.
No, he got both tonsils out. I think there's only blood, a little bit of blood. Who knows?
Okay.
Anyway.
Your tonsils are basically throat kidneys, you know? You can get one.
Throat kidneys.
Yeah, that's it. He's going to make it.
Love it. Eventually, Brenda became pregnant. They moved out. And shortly after, they got married in 1970. So keep in mind, they're only 18 years old at this stage. Like, a lot's happened. A lot is happening.
They've been through a lot.
A lot. So shortly after they got married, Brenda gave birth to their daughter, Cinnamon Brown.
Oh, sounds like a delicious drink.
I know, right? They just thought she's going to be, they're quite young, and she just thought, well, she's going to be something extraordinary when she grows up, so she needs to have an extraordinary name.
Is it extraordinary? Cinnamon Brown.
To me, it sounds like a stripper, but that's my own opinion.
Hey, look, Cinnamon Brown, maybe back in those days it was quite out there, whereas nowadays we've got things like Apple and Amazing.
Cinnamon Brown is the apple of her father's eye.
Love a bit of cinnamon apple.
He is just so, so in love, so loves being a father, but, you know, he hasn't graduated high school. He doesn't want to bring his daughter up in the same kind of lifestyle as what he grew up in. Times were tough. They didn't have a lot of money. So he's gone back and he's got his high school diploma. And then he's eventually decided he wants to get into computer technology. Imagine, you know, back in the 70s, computers, technology, it's just not really a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't even know that there were computers back in the 70s.
I'm pretty sure they had those little, with the green little.
That's all they sounded like, right?
Absolutely.
No, I know they probably did. But when I think of computers, I just think of those big fat apples. It's like the first one. It's not, though. Actually, wait, didn't we go to like, how old were we when we were doing like Kit McGrath?
What are you talking about? That was only last week.
What, are you still trying to learn how to spell?
Oh, it's those times tables.
Shane currently goes to Kit McGrath every Tuesday evening.
Yes. So, no, we were primary school, so that was a long time ago.
In the 90s.
But if you must know, the first computer that resembled the modern machines we see today was invented between 1833 and 1871.
That was like a concrete stone and a bloody...
Actually, the first computers were available to the public by 1976.
Oh, okay. So he was right. He was like right on the money. Get in there quick.
In the beginning. So he really wanted to get into computer technology. I think it took him a while to be able to get into the study course, but that was the path that he wanted to go down. So eventually things started getting a little unhappy in the old Brown house.
Oh.
David Brown actually began to have this, you know, similar father role to what his own father had. He would come in and he'd have the fun and he's working and he's out and he's with friends and very controlling on Brenda. And she's like, you know, this just isn't for me. I want some independence. I want to get a driver's license. He's like, mm-mm, hell no. Jeez. So and when he was at work, she actually snuck to the neighbor's house and learned how to drive a car. And then eventually she managed to convince him to get... She got a part-time job because she's like, I can't do this. They were so young when they got together.
Mm.
She's really had no life experience. She's had a child really young. She stayed at home. So she's gone out and she's got a job. She's made some friends. David just was not happy with this.
Ugh.
Ugh, men.
We're not sour on men at all today.
So... he actually then met this girl, because she's a 19-year-old, Laurie Carpenter. She's 3 years younger than the two of them, so it's not much. And he and Brenda, it's just not going well. He actually introduces Brenda to Laurie and says, "This is the girl I'm going to marry one day."
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hang on a minute.
Asshole,
that's right. Are you saying that, so he's met her as in just like, just has met her and they are friends, or is he having a little sneaky, sneaky side piece?
They are having some rendezvous. They are meeting out in public. Brenda actually sees them canoodling at the local cafe.
You don't canoodle?
Not in, you know, not in, well, not ever, but not in your local cafe.
And not back in the 70s.
Ugh. I know. I mean, gosh. So anyway, Brenda's like, you know what? Piss off, mate. I'm out of here.
Good.
So she packs up everything. I mean, everything.
Go her, because especially back then, a lot of women would probably just try to make it work, you know?
Oh, 100%. So her boss actually came and helped her. She took everything. She took the teaspoons. She took the furniture.
Take it.
Everything's gone. And she took little cinnamon spice.
That's right. Get in the car, baby girl.
So yeah, you can imagine. Old David Brown is not happy about this, and he actually shows up to her work the following day with a gun.
Oh,
and holds it to Brenda's, you know, her head, and is like, "Come on home." And all she said was, "Go on." She called his bluff. She's like, "Go on, you kill me, I'll be free of you forever, but you'll be going to jail." So he got a little scared and he skedaddled. He got out of there.
Wow, that's pretty hectic, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Men.
Anyways, David Brown.
Go on, big boy, pull that trigger.
Yeah. So, but you know, good on Brenda for standing up to him. He's obviously this controlling, horrible, possessive person, and she's gone and done her own thing, which is so good.
She's owning her future, baby.
She sure is. So it's 1974, 22 years old. Their marriage quickly ended. They filed for divorce. And what do you know? As soon as that finalized divorce papers come in, he has married Laurie Carpenter. So super quick.
Oh, geez, it's a lot. It's a lot at 22, isn't it?
It is a lot. And you've got to think, well, especially in America, because this is based in America, you can get divorced. You don't have to wait 2 years in New Zealand. You can get divorced. And like, this has all happened within months of each other.
Yeah, right. Shit.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Dirty dog.
Dirty dog. Marriage was good. Life was going well. David Brown was working in some computer tech company. He was making good money. They had a house. They had the pool. Cinnamon would come over for weekends. And she really loved it there because mom had the apartment. She really struggled with time and money and had to get babysitters. And just wasn't really that exciting for Cinnamon to be home with mom. So she really idolized her dad and really loved being with him and really wanted daddy to give her all the attention. So life is good until David Brown meets 14-year-old Linda Bailey up the road, 10 years his junior.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
What for? Is he going to drop her off a little school lunch? What's happening here?
So obviously they just live on the same street and he's just randomly bumped into her and met her.
Okay.
And he is like, don't mind this little Linda Bailey. And get this, this might sound a little familiar, Laurel.
Oh.
Linda Bailey is one of 11 children living with a single mom in some very, very bad dire straits. Not a lot of money. It's a real, real struggle.
This sounds awfully familiar.
Awfully familiar. So, you know, what do you know? David just swoops on in and he's like, how am I going to get close to this Linda Bailey? Because she is it for me.
Oh, I'm feeling incredibly uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Hang on. So, what is he, 23, 22?
24.
All right, R. Kelly. Jesus Christ. This is a little too much. Fucking hell.
Yeah, so, and like, keep in mind, he hasn't been long married to your old Laurie.
Actually, I might add a little personal experience here. When I was 16, I got a boyfriend, and he was 24. And I don't think I'm okay with that now. What the fuck? What's going on with all these, I'm not even going to say it.
These Peters?
There's so many Peters out there. Like, Jesus
Go
Christ.
On, Peter.
I know, just bloody hell. Meet someone your own age, sick Peters.
Go on, Peters. So he's like, okay, I need to get close to this Linda Bailey. How am I going to do that? So he introduces himself to Ethel, Linda's mother. David's like, listen here, Ethel. I'm dying of colon cancer.
Which he was.
I need your daughters, in particular, Linda, to come and help me around the house. And I'm going to pay them some money.
Oh.
Yeah, so she's like, you know what?
Sneaky.
I am desperate for some money. So please take the children, do whatever you need, bring back that cash at the end of the day.
That's right. Jeez, all right. Okay, well, I guess times are tough. She's got 11 of them. She probably wouldn't notice a few went missing.
Exactly. So, and also, so this is what they say, he was like, started the grooming process of Linda. He was kind of like that father figure she never had, was that kind of best friend. He'd always come to the house with pizza and chocolates and clothing and gifts. And they just, all the children loved David in their own special way. But eventually, Linda just started having a little crush on David, which really worked in his favor.
God, I must look like I've sucked on a lemon. I am not happy. I feel uncomfortable. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's terrible because she's 14. Like, you just have no idea what you're doing. And again, like I just mentioned that little, you know, obviously I had a boyfriend 16, he was 24. But like, I didn't know any better. This is just, it's just wrong. It's just not okay. And at 14, not cool, man. Poor girl.
No, it's not cool. So eventually old Ethel caught wind that Linda was after some birth control.
Oh.
She's like, what's going on here? And she kind of put two and two together and she's like, that motherfucker duped me. He's trying to get with my baby daughter.
Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm. things aren't good. Linda's arguing with the mom and she decides to gap it and she moves in with the brother.
Who does?
Linda moves in with her brother because Ethel and Linda are fighting because she's like, this David Brown, he's coming in. He's trying to take my daughter away.
Yeah.
So she gets really, really volatile. So she moves in with the brother. We're just going to take it back to David and Laurie. Now, we don't really know a lot about what happened in their marriage. However, things aren't good. She must be catching wind that Linda Bailey's at the house all the time cleaning. So their marriage actually falls apart and they end up getting divorced. So this is only 4 years after being married, but that is over, Red Rover. All right, moving on.
Good for her.
Yeah, get out of there. So soon after this divorce, what do you know? Linda and David make things a lot official, wanting to get married.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus bloody Christ. So this stage, Linda's 17. It's illegal to get married. Somehow David has gone back in there and managed to convince Ethel that he loves the daughter and they want to be together, and she ends up signing off. She signs off on it. So Linda and her brother go to Vegas with David and they go and tie the knot, probably in front of Elvis.
Hey, we've all been there. Oh, my God. Well, okay, so she's 17. Mm. And what is he, 25, 26?
He is, oh, no, well, he's 27. He's 10 years older, 10 years older. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not, I mean, it's not sounding as bad, but it's pretty gross that he met him, which is 40.
Yeah.
I do not approve.
So 1979, David and Linda, they've run off to Vegas, they've got married, and they move in together. And now Linda has a little sister called Patty. Patty's 11. Patty likes to spend a lot of time at the house. Patty really loves David because, again, father figure, and she's always there, back and forth. And over the next kind of couple of years, she eventually just moves in. Cinnamon Brown, she's still living with her mom. She's back and forth with David and Linda and now Patty. She just feels like she's constantly trying to fight for her father's love and attention because there's the other girls in the house and things just aren't like how they used to be. Eventually, Cinnamon convinces her dad that she wants to move in. So now it's Cinnamon's 12, Patty's 15, and Linda is, she must be early 20s, and David, they're all living together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. David and his little group of teenagers. Right. Yeah, so now we're going to fast forward to 1984. Life is good again. David is just, you know, living his best life. He's very, very strict. He's very, very controlling. At this time, he's actually started his own data recovery company. There's talk that he actually had some sort of secret contract with the Pentagon on data recovery, and he's bringing in a six-figure salary into that household, which you can imagine in the 80s, that is a lot of money.
That is a lot.
Linda actually falls pregnant.
Right.
Yeah, so he's bringing in the money. They're actually living in Orange County. So they're living in an area called Garden Grove. It's a very high-class area. People with money, that's the type. You know, it's a very gated community. You're going to find just wealth, a lot of wealth.
They're doing well.
So during this time, Linda starts getting very suspicious of David and Sister Patty's relationship.
Oh, Jesus, I actually wondered if this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right.
So, yuck. There's going to be a lot of ugh in this episode.
Yeah, I told you, there's this onion's got layers, girl. So Linda's starting to get a little suspicious. Patty's 16 at this time. Same age as Linda was when they started their relationship.
Mm-mm.
And she's just like, I'm not having a bar of this. David's always out with Patty. They're always doing something. And it was no secret that Patty had a crush on David. It was pretty obvious. Anyone could see it.
Oy.
She really wanted Patty to leave. David was so convincing, like, no, it's okay, everything's fine. And he managed to squash that rumor down. And eventually Linda had a daughter, Crystal. So those feelings just were kind of brushed under the rug and all the concentration was put on the new daughter.
Sounds like David's also a little Peter, eh?
Yes, Peter, Petey, Petey. Well, I mean, this case is so fucked up.
Ugh.
So now we've got all the girls are living in the house. Baby Crystal's been born. All the attention has been taken away from David and Patty's relationship until one day David Brown gets Cinnamon and Patty together and says, "You will not believe it. Linda and her brother are plotting to kill him."
Ugh.
And take the business.
Righto.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, these young girls are probably like, no way.
Well, at first, Cinnamon, she just laughed it off. She's like, "You're just, there's something wrong with you." Cinnamon has a great relationship with Linda.
Mm.
And Patty, on the other hand, who is Linda's sister, was a bit like, yeah, I'm with you on that one. She was really on his side and really agreed. And potentially that's because there was this relationship going on and she just wanted her sister to be out of the picture. And
yeah,
anything that was bad, she's going to go and say, yeah, that's exactly what she's doing, right?
Of course, yeah, if there's some sneaky stuff going behind the scenes, yeah.
This actually became like a daily conversation that Linda's plotting to kill him, and this happened over the space of 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a bit of psychology around, you know, repeating the same statement over and over and over again. You're eventually going to believe it, but if you're actually doing this to teenage girls, you can just imagine how much you can manipulate and control the situation. And eventually Cinnamon did believe it. She thought that this woman's out to kill her dad.
Damn.
It became such an obsession. They'd play a game that they'd be out in the cars and they'd be plotting different ways of how to kill her. And it was almost like a joke, like, oh, we could drop the toaster in the bath, or we could hit her over the head, or we can shoot her. And it just became this really sick and twisted game.
Ugh.
David made it very, very clear that there's only two options, is that he leaves for good, or they have to stop Linda and get rid of her to make sure that she doesn't hurt David. So, and Cinnamon, she really had to fight for David's attention, and she loved David so much. She just thought, there's no way I'm going to lose my dad. I will do whatever it takes to keep him around. And if that means we have to hurt Linda, then we have to get rid of her and we have to hurt her.
Oh.
So he also claimed over and over and over again, if you loved me, you would help me, or you would do anything for me. It's just like that, you know, a real manipulating statement, right? If you love me, you would do it.
That old chestnut.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've thrown that around as a joke, but, you know.
You know.
If you'd love me, you'd go get the ice cream out of the freezer for him to go for couch.
So Cinnamon and Linda actually still got on really, really well, but Cinnamon did not have a good relationship with Patty. And part of this is because one day they'd gone to the supermarket. Linda's in the car changing Crystal's diaper, and the three of them go into the supermarket. Cinnamon's like, "Where is David and Patty?" What do you know? They're all hooking up in the old bloody spaghetti aisle.
Thanks. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
Yeah, so obviously the relationship's gone to the next level. And
they could have at least gone into the freezer section. The spaghetti aisle.
And then David is basically trying to convince Cinnamon that it was an accident, it was a mistake. But I mean, I don't know if you know much about kissing, Laura, but you don't just accidentally fall into someone's mouth.
Jeez, oh, that's
especially
awful.
Especially your 16-year-old sister-in-law.
That's right.
You're not just gonna go fall into that mouth, are you?
I know. Oh God, how awful. All right,
sick. Obviously, the kiss has happened. This is in January 1985, and then Cinnamon is then moved out into the trailer. Because Cinnamon and Patty were actually sharing a bedroom, but now this is when it's actually suspected that Patty and
David are sharing a bedroom.
David, their relationships turned sexual, so.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty gross. So this stage now, she's 17.
He's just into young girls,
yeah,
isn't
he? He's like early 30s. It's disgusting. And also, you've got to think, she was around when, obviously, early days, but really hanging around the house around 11 years old. Like, so he's starting to kind of think, your sister's too old for me now. Go down the line.
That's it.
Train her in. Linda again has gone a little suspicious that Cinnamon's out in the old trailer, because she's like, why?
Hello.
Why is she in the trailer? And again, they started fighting a lot. A lot of fighting because she's suspicious of her dirty sister for sleeping with her husband.
With her dirty husband.
Yeah, exactly. And then things get a little bit interesting because David decides to take out his fourth life insurance policy on his
wife. Oh, he mates with old Corey Richens. Four? Did you say four?
Four.
That's four. What Corey did.
I know. And Linda's having to keep signing these life insurance policies. But It's okay, though, because David said, no, no, no. As responsible parents, we have to make sure that we leave everything for Crystal.
I have to go get a couple of new policies out for Mark. You got me for Dan? Do you think we should?
No, I've got none, actually.
Neither.
So we've got four life insurance policies totaling over $845,000. So in today's markets, you're talking about $2.5 million. So it's a lot. Oh, it's a lot.
Corey Richens styles.
It sure is, Laurel. And after a lot of planning and plotting, they decided that the time was coming near, but Cinnamon didn't know when. They actually had a family member have a baby and they all went to the hospital. David and Patty were talking and they're like, we've got to do it now. We've got to do it now. And Cinnamon's really confused. She's like, hang on a minute. What is going on? It sounds like they're making me be I have to do this. But she's like, I'm happy to help, but I'm not going to do it. Anyway, Laurel, they hop in the van, probably the minivan. And Patty leans on in. Cinnamon, you got to push this bitch right out of the car onto the freeway.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Cinnamon said, oh, fucking no, I'm not doing that. Because they completely blindsided her and she's just like, no. And obviously Linda's in the car and she's like, what's going on? And everything just stopped. Oh. So she's like, okay, not doing it. Not doing it. This is not what we agreed. So this didn't happen.
Sorry. I'm so confused. This is horrendous.
Oh, look, it's not ideal. So they go home and they're like, no, there must be a better way. Oh, there must be a better way. So they don't push her out of the car.
I'm on the edge of my bloody seat over here.
Okay. I know. So they don't push her out of the car. They go home and David sits Cinnamon down and says, look, we need you to be the one that kills her because you're only 14. And what we're going to do is we're going to write a suicide note. So it looks like you've tried to commit suicide. So you'll just get a psych evaluation and then they'll just send you home.
Sounds legit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, as a 14-year-old, he's really, really fucking her over. I mean.
Well, and also think about this. She really wants his attention. So she's probably thinking, if I do this for my dad.
He'll love me.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And again, that saying, if you love me, you will do it, right?
Yeah.
So they actually practice the suicide note together and they land on, dear God, please forgive me. I didn't mean to hurt her.
Right.
Right. So now we're going to go to the early hours of March 19th, 1985. Cinnamon Brown was jolted awake by her loving father and said, tonight is the night. It has to happen now.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to wake up.
I know. Interestingly enough, she's actually in Patty's room that night. So something must have happened where she's gone and slept in there. I think some family members came over and was organized because he knew this is the night she needs to be inside. He then leads her to the kitchen, opens a bottle of pills, empties them out, makes her take them all, and then opens a second bottle and makes her take the second bottle as well. Now, I don't know what these pills are, but it's enough to kill someone. It's two big pottles. Bottles of pills.
And for people that don't know what a pottle is, because Mark didn't know what a pottle was, it's just a little bottle. Mark was convinced that wasn't a word. I had to Google it.
A pottle of pills.
Like a pottle of chips. It's
like actual. Must be a New Zealand thing. I don't know.
I think so.
She's having pottles of pills.
Oh, it's horrendous. All right.
Yeah. So then David then goes out to the dog kennel or the dog house, whatever one you go call it, and puts the suicide note in there. And then he decides he's going to leave. He's going to go somewhere. He's going to get his alibi. He's going to have nothing to do with this.
Of course he is.
So he's going to go down to the old mini mart. He goes and reads some comic books and he goes to the beach for a lovely stroll. Patty handed Cinnamon a gun and a cushion as a silencer.
Oh, wow.
So Cinnamon's had two bottles of pills and she's walked into the room where Linda is sleeping. It's dark. She holds the cushion up and she pushes that gun into it and she just fires. She just kind of aims in the direction and then she's like, holy shit, the gun's stuck in the pillow. She can't get it out because Linda's laying there. She's groaning. She's moaning. She has no idea what's happened. So she runs out of the room and at this stage, Patty's holding Crystal, the baby. The baby's screaming.
Oh, this is awful.
Paddy's trying to help Cinnamon get the gun out, and they manage to fly it out, and another shot hits the bed in Paddy's room. Paddy's like, you've got to go down and do it again, because Linda's, she's not dead. She's moaning and groaning.
Oh.
So Cinnamon goes back down there and she fires one more shot. That was actually to be the fatal shot that killed her. And then Cinnamon goes out to the doghouse and she lays down and just waits. Mm-hmm. She waits.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. David Brown has come home to all of this commotion and, oh my God, Cinnamon shot his wife and he calls the cops. Now the cops are like, is she alive? He's like, I can't go in there. He's like, I can't stand blood. I can't go look at that. I can't stomach it. So he doesn't even go into the wife. The wife is actually still groaning, Laurel.
No, Shireen.
Yeah, she has actually been shot the second time, but she is actually still alive. It was the second shot that eventually did kill her, but it wasn't instant. The police come, they rush her to the hospital, and then she's later pronounced dead. It just eventually killed her. So,
oh.
Yeah. So the police are there. They're looking around the house. David's like, well, Cinnamon and Linda have got the most horrible relationship. They're constantly fighting. They're always bickering. Cinnamon's obviously done this because she doesn't like Linda and wants to get rid of her. They actually can't find Cinnamon. It's dark. They can't find her anywhere. Obviously, the police are there for quite some time. And as the sun comes up, they go outside and they see some shoes sticking out of the dog kennel. Cinnamon Brown is in there. She is in a very, very bad way. She's actually vomited and urinated on herself, and she's clasping this suicide note. So they race her to the hospital. She's thankfully okay. They do say if she didn't throw up, then she would have definitely died because of the amount of pills that are in her system. So it's pretty apparent that David Brown was trying to kill Linda and didn't really care if he killed his daughter on the way.
That, well, yeah, that's what it sounds like. I think he probably had planned that she would die.
Yeah, because there was just so much pills.
No one would be able to trace it back to him.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's just actually horrific.
This is so horrific. It doesn't even sound like it's a real story.
Oh, there's just so much to it. So eventually Cinnamon comes to and she's okay. The police, they're pretty satisfied. They've got their motive because obviously the relationship between Cinnamon Brown and Linda is terrible. Eventually, well, Cinnamon's confessed. She says that she doesn't really remember what happened, but she's confessed to doing it. And she's completely shocked because she's sentenced to 27 years in prison.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Holy shit.
Holy shit. So old Daddy Dearest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, old Daddy Dearest saying you'll just get a psych evaluation. You're a minor. You'll be okay. You won't go to prison.
She's 14.
She's 14.
Oh, my God.
So in the meantime, old David's cashed out on his life insurance policies, $850,000, $70,000, whatever it is, and he's gone and bought himself a big, beautiful house in a absolutely stunning area. He's bought new cars and a hell of a lot of art. Like, he was just really into very expensive art. What do you know? Linda's gone. So Patty and David are free to be together. She's now 18 years old, and they do a little trip over to Vegas.
No, they don't. No, they didn't.
They did, and they got married.
Oh, I'm just so sick of hearing about David getting married.
I know. I know.
Oh, my God. Ugh, I've got nothing. I'm just sitting here cradling myself. It's just so awful.
I know.
Until, you know what, she's 18 years old. Well, she's probably got an expiry date on her for at least another 2 years and she's out.
I know. So they've secretly got married. This is 1986. God. This is when we were born. 1986. Secretly got married. Patty's got pregnant and she's had a daughter. Obviously, this is all in secret. So they've actually not listed anyone down as the father, or if they did, it definitely wasn't David because no one can know. But family starts getting suspicious. David's not actually going to visit his daughter. He said he promised he would help, like, overturn the sentencing and will get her out early. And he's not really visiting much. And family's gone and actually told Cinnamon, hey, David's gone and married Patty and they've gone and had a baby.
Holy shit.
She's not happy. So Cinnamon is actually 18 years old. The detective at the time wasn't 100% convinced what Cinnamon said or what happened actually happened. He's like, something's not right here. But he's actually gone back in touch with Cinnamon.
Oh.
She's like, I'm ready to talk. I am ready to talk. She's gone and told him everything that's happened. And they're like, right, David Brown is going down.
Oh my God. Wait, so at this point, she'd been in prison for 4 years.
Yeah, so we're August 1988.
Mind you, she might have had the trial. Oh, wait, was there a trial or anything? There would have been.
Well, she confessed. She was guilty.
Oh, yeah, far out. Oh, all right. David going down.
David's going down. So, August 1998, Cinnamon is wearing a wire, and old Daddy Dearest has come to visit. So it didn't take long for David to incriminate himself, and he's actually admitted to giving her all those pills. And then he's gone on and said he couldn't tell the truth because he couldn't handle one night in prison. But what he's going to do is he's going to go and try and convince Patty to take the blame so she can swap places with Cinnamon.
Easy as that. Just swap him out.
Just, yeah.
Good one.
Well, we swap a doodle. So after this has happened, the recording's done, a few weeks later, David and Patty have got arrested.
Excellent news.
In their big mansion. David obviously denied everything. He's like, was not me. Whereas Patty actually cooperated with the police.
Wow.
She told them everything that had happened, and she actually eventually went on to testify against her husband.
Oh, wow. Didn't see that coming, but that's good.
Wow. Doesn't end there, Laurel.
Oh my God, there's more onion.
While David was in jail, he actually got chatting with an inmate who was getting ready for a little release date.
Hang on a minute. Was there a trial or he's just awaiting trial?
He's awaiting trial.
Okay, so he's in jail.
He's in jail.
He's not in prison. He's not in prison. He's in jail.
They say money can buy you anything, right? So he's offered this guy who's getting a release date soon $500,000 to murder his wife, Patty, and two members of the district attorney's office.
Oh, my God.
And his reasoning for this is because it's going to delay the trial and it's going to give him an advantage to try and figure out how not to go to jail.
All right. Sounds like a good plan, David.
Oh, absolutely. So instead of the guy going and doing this, he's gone straight to the coppers and said, hey, this guy is trying to kill his wife and two district attorneys, and
amazing.
Yeah. So what they've actually done to this inmate is said, right, you need to go and see David and convince him it's done. So we need to get it on recording. So that's exactly what he's done. He's like, it's done. They're all dead. And he has said, wonderful. You're a good man. So got him. They've got him.
Oh my God. This is so excellent.
Oh, I know. So there's a 1990 trial. Cinnamon and Patty has testified against David. And he's eventually sentenced to life without parole.
Did he get a shock of his life when Patty walked into the trial? Or like, I suppose they probably threw some more charges on him.
Yeah, he got extra charges. So he knew before when he went into trial, he knew this was happening. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he's sentenced to life without parole. Patty was actually tried in the juvenile court because she was 17 years old at the time. She's actually eventually sentenced to 4 years reformatory, which is like a juvenile training and education center. So it's not even like prison. It's just they're going to get some education and learn how to be better people in society.
Really? But then I can't believe Cinnamon got 27 years. I suppose it's because she...
Hang on.
Oh, shit. All right, stop.
Rewind.
I'll stop there.
So Cinnamon Brown served 7 years and was actually paroled in 1992.
Wow.
Yeah, so she got released.
That's good.
Yeah, Patty did her 4 years, so she really was a slap on the wrist. And then eventually David actually died of natural causes in 2014. I think he was 60 years old, yeah.
That colon cancer, eh?
Mm-hmm. It really got him.
Well, he really manifested that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So Cinnamon Brown, she's still in Orange County and she's never spoken to Patty again. And she just, I think, eventually went on to working some clerical job and living her life.
Holy Lord. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's fucked up.
There's a lot of layers. This man is absolutely disgusting. He is a real predator that likes his young girls and just really, I guess, trying to mold and manipulate them. It's disgusting. So
yeah.
On that note, Lolly, I have got one question. Can you handle that crime and scandal today?
No, I think that's probably our worst one yet. That's just so horrendous. I've never heard this one before, and I mean, I knew it was going to be bad, but yeah, it's just really sad. Young girls are just so easy to manipulate and mold. I think, you know, an older man, was he an attractive man?
No, he's disgusting.
Okay. Well, all right, forget I said that part. Well, he had money and obviously had a presence about him, because sometimes you can get men that are not easy on the eye, but they've got a bit of charm to them. There must have been something drawing these girls in, or I suppose it's maybe their backgrounds of just not having good men in their lives. So they just cling on to someone that maybe can fill that void. But yeah, it's all fucked. I feel really sad, because you know what? Just get a divorce. Like, why do people have to kill their spouses? Just get a divorce. How about that? This sounds like a good idea.
It's a great idea just to get a divorce. And you know, the saddest thing is she was only 23 when she was killed.
Linda?
Linda was 23.
Oh my God. Yeah. And what happened? Do we know what happened to Crystal, the little girl?
I don't know. I know that David actually got cremated and the ashes were given to Crystal. So, I mean, who knows? Oh. Who knows? She's got that dirty ass ashes.
She needs to put them straight in the rubbish.
She does. She does.
Oh, okay. Well, Rainey, what's your thoughts? Can you handle that crime and scandal?
Absolutely not. I think it's so, so sad. Obviously, Cinnamon was 14, just desperate for her dad's attention. This guy is preying on young girls in distress. They've got horrible home lives, and he's come in and, you know, that's really the only way he could win these girls over is with money and
trying to be the hero.
The promise of a good life here, that knight in shining armor. And Linda, young, she was beautiful, and she had her daughter, and now she's gone. It's very sad, not here for it, and a pretty horrible case to really look into and get all the details. It's pretty sad.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. And did you say that Cinnamon was, she was on Oprah, is that right?
Yeah, so Cinnamon eventually, when she was still in prison, she did a one-off interview with Oprah. Good representation of like how it was for her and what actually happened. So definitely worth watching. And I'm sure we'll put that little clip up on our little Instagram page for you to see.
That's right. Wow. Well, look, thank you, Rainey. You really did your research. That was an excellent, excellent delivery. Far out. I don't really have any words of wisdom to part with, apart from ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Okay. Once again, go out, be good humans. And I'm just going to do one little shout out, guys.
Ooh.
So our podcast starts and finishes with a really beautiful song. And you may not know, the song is actually Lolly, and it's a song that she has done. And it's just so beautiful. And, you know, it's gonna start playing soon. And you need to know how great she is. So.
Oh, stop. Oh, thanks, Rainey. You're going to give me a little tear.
Aww.
You know, yeah, I did record some music and when I lived in LA, and but they're bloody good songs. I had a really...
Oh, they're incredible.
Thank you. I had a good engineer who did the tracks, and they're just sitting there collecting dust. So I thought, you know what? Let's put one on the pod.
Exactly. And it just fits in so nicely. So you guys, listen in.
Maybe we'll put a link to the actual full song. It's on Spotify.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Oh, thanks, girl. Look, we finished on a nice note. So that's lovely.
We did.
All right. Well, have a lovely time over there in New Zealand.
Thank you. You too. And I will hear from you with another gory story soon, I'm sure.
Oh, we should change the podcast to Gory Stories.
Oh, Gory Stories.
All right. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.